You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So good to be here today. So good. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. Welcome to church. I really am glad that you're here. In fact, let's give all the new people a welcome to church. Come on, right now. We've got a special gift for you after the service. Just go out the double black doors. Down the back, we've got a team of people waiting to give you a gift. But if you want to receive from God today, I want you to reach out your hands in faith because I'm going to pray for you. Come on. Oh, everyone across all of our campuses, all services, come on, reach out your hands in faith if you want to receive from God right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good. God, that no matter what anybody else says about you, it will always be true that you're good. It will always be true that everything you do is good. Lord God, we came here today because we want to receive another touch from heaven. We want to receive a fresh word from God, a rhema word from God into our lives. We want to have a healthy soul. So we come to church today, God, saying, speak to us. So God, we open up our hearts, we open up our minds to receive all that you want to do in Jesus' name. All those who agree with that, say amen. High five your neighbor. Tell them to take their seats. Now, if you are new here, every single week this summer, I am preaching a message on some of the many things that you can do in your life to bring some strength to your soul. The sermon series is called Soul Oxygen, okay? Soul Oxygen, and it's all about your soul's health this summer, okay? And, you know, our sermon series is called Soul Oxygen, so every single message is going to bring another aspect into your life, another, like almost like take you to another level in the power that you're living in, amen? Who knows that God didn't call you to be the tail, he called you to be the head. Who knows that God didn't call you to finish last, he called you to finish first, amen? And so I believe that as we have a healthier soul, it's going to bring more strength and more power and more speed and more faith into every single area of your life. Amen? Anyone want to have healthy relationships? Then you need a healthy soul. Anyone want to have healthy finances? Then you need a healthy soul. Anyone want to have a healthy marriage? You need a healthy soul. Amen? Anyone want to have a healthy body? Come on, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. Amen? Awesome. Hey, when I was in year 8, there was this one kid in our school that would just pick on me a little bit. He was actually my older brother's best mate, right? One of my older brother's mates. And every single time that he walked past me in the breezeway at school, he would stack my books. Do people do that here? Like stack your books? You know, do you know what I'm talking about? Stack your books. I don't even know how to say that in America. You're holding books, they knock them out of your hands. I'm realizing right now you're probably stuck on breezeway, actually, aren't you? Someone was just saying, what's breezeway? And I'm like, all right, cool, breezeway. All right. In Australia, the schools are, they're kind of like a building that's inside out. And so all the entrances are on the outside of the building. But in between the multiple buildings, there's a breezeway where the breeze can make its way and keep you cool, all right? It's a breezeway. In Australia, we just call things what they are, you know? Like, we're not going to call it a corridor. It's a breezeway where the breeze will make its way, okay? We good? Stack is also an Australian word for crash. You know, like, so we don't crash our cars, we stack it, you know? Like, someone will be like, oh, man, I stacked it on the way to school today, you know? They fell off their bike, you know? I stacked it on the way to work. They crashed their car, all right? So he stacked my books in the breezeway. That was way more complicated than I wanted it to be. Just put that out there, all right? So every time he walked past me or every time I walked past him, he would stack my books. And I remember going home one day and telling my dad that Joel's mate keeps stacking my books in the breezeway. I know we got mate, books, breezeway, stacking right now. And I'm like, Dad, you need to do something about this bloke stacking my books in the breezeway. And now listen up, parents, particularly kids, listen up. This following story is not advice for you kids at school. Y'all need to talk to your own parents about how your family believes you should deal with a bully. But this is the advice that my dad gave me, okay? This is not advice to you. You need to talk with mommy and daddy and see what your family does to the bully, okay? But my dad told me next time he does it, you need to fight back. Said you need to fight back. Next time he does it, get up and punch him as hard as you can and as fast as you can, square in the middle of his face, and then walk away like nothing happened. He said, don't run away. He said, you walk away. That'll scare him more. Don't look back. Just walk away. Now, in Australia, like I said, our buildings are inside out, right? And you know, you enter all of the classrooms from the outside because, honestly, the worst thing that can happen weather-wise in Australia is it's 65 degrees and raining, and so we'd wait outside and in the breezeway. The very next day after Dad told me to fight back, I didn't see this bloke, and I'm walking past him, and he stacks my books again. He was in line outside waiting to go into his room. Suddenly, my books are flying out of my hands onto the ground, and he just stood there in line at the classroom door like nothing happened. I went down to pick up my books, and I remember hearing my father's voice in the back of my head. Punch him as hard as you can. Punch him as fast as you can. Punch him and walk away and don't look back. So I stood up, and without any warning, I punched him as hard as I could and as fast as I could, square in the nose. And he fell to the ground, bleeding out of his nose, and I walked away. I didn't look back. You only look back if you're scared, Dad said. And I wasn't scared. I walked away. Now, for the rest of that week, people weren't talking about my books getting stacked. They were talking about how he got smacked into next week for being a moron to Newman's little brother. Come on. That's what people were talking about. And he never stacked my books again. In fact, nobody ever stacked my books again. Come on. I was more excited about it than you are. I went home. I didn't wash my hands. I'm like, Dad, see that red stuff on my hand? You know what that is. Come on. That's the blood of the devil. Come on. I want to tell you, when the devil's coming at you, whether it be a big deal now or a constant frustration like your books getting stacked every single week, your Father in heaven is whispering into your ear, fight back. Come on, fight back. Touch your neighbor, say, fight back. Your Father in heaven is telling you to get up and punch him as fast as you can and as hard as you can and walk away like nothing even happened. Come on. God's telling you to make the devil regret coming to stack your books. Can I get an amen? So how do I smack the devil in the face, Pastor? I can't see him. By praying. Prayer. 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 Prayer is your weapon against the powers and the plans of the devil for your life. There are three plans for your life. There's God's plan, there's your plan, and there's the devil's plan. Prayer is the weapon that you have to A, line up your plan with his plan, and to knock the devil's plan into next week. Amen. Now, in prayer, we get to know God, which is awesome. Prayer is about actually spending time with God, and that's great, right? Like, prayer is where we learn how to hear God's voice. See, it's cool that y'all are here right now and hearing God speaking through me, through the sermon, through the worship, and through the team here at Eternity Church. But in prayer, you're going to learn how to hear God's voice for yourself. You're going to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart. See, God loves it when his people pray. He absolutely loves it. Like, when Lauren and I were dating, we talked on the phone a lot. Like, and that was back before I had unlimited plans. I'm talking $600 to $700 a month, a lot, right? like we talked a lot, and my phone bill was in my mum's name. Thank you, Jesus, right? And when I forgot to pay it, she got dinged, I didn't, right? When my wife was in Europe, when she was my girlfriend, I looked forward to those moments on the phone every day. I looked forward to that time where the time zones overlapped and we could actually speak. I was excited about it. I was pumped about it. I'd tell people what Lauren and I talked about. I'd tell people how excited I am to talk to her. I'd tell people what she's been doing, what she told me on the phone, and God is the same with you. He looks forward to those moments that you've dedicated to spending time with Him. He looks forward to that phone call every single day. God wants you to get to know His heart. Amen. See, He knows your heart, but the relationship's not about one person knowing the other person. The relationship's about each other knowing each other. Amen. And God wants you to get to know His heart, sharing your heart with Him, listening to His voice. But today I want to talk to you about prayer as the weapon in your life. Prayer as the weapon that you have to fight back when the devil's coming at you or your family or your friends or your church. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor. Look at them. Look at them. Right now, you don't know what's going on in their life. Is their marriage being attacked? I don't know. Maybe their kids are wandering away from the Lord. Maybe their health is declining. Maybe they've just got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe their past addictions are making their way back into their life. Maybe their passion for the Lord is wavering. You need to look at them right now and tell them like something like that's happening in their life and say, fight back. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, fight back. And that's not what I'm talking about. If you said that to me and I was going through a fight, I'd be like, You don't care at all. I'm honest with you, right? If you said, you need to fight back. Like, you don't have any fight in you, and you're telling me to fight back? Come on, touch your neighbor. Tell him, fight back. you don't get it yet. Touch your other neighbor. Say, fight back. Now you're getting it. Come on. When trial comes, you need to run toward the Lord, not away from Him. Come on, you need to fight back. This week, I read the entire book of Daniel again. The whole thing. The whole thing. It really is a book that will enlighten you as to what's happening in the heavenlies as we pray. I tell you, if you read the book of Daniel, you're going to walk away and go, man, my prayers are doing a whole lot more than I realize my prayers are doing. See, sometimes we think our prayers are words. We're like, oh yeah, this is, no. When you read the book of Daniel, you realize that your prayers are doing a whole lot more in the supernatural than they are in the natural. Come on. You realize that your prayers are changing things in the heavenlies, amen. As I read that, I was reading all about Daniel. Daniel was a godly man. He loved to pray. That's like basically the key topic of Daniel. He loved to pray. Kings put him in really high positions. He was living in blessing, and he had enormous integrity. And other people became jealous of his life, and they knew that he was committed to prayer, and they decided that we're going to use prayer against him. They decided they would use his prayer as a weapon to destroy him. But what they didn't even realize was that his prayer already was a weapon. Amen. That his prayer already was a weapon to bless him. All the stuff that they wanted, all the blessing that they wished that they had, all the position that Daniel found himself in that they wanted to be in, the constant victory in Daniel's life, all of that was a symptom of his commitment to prayer. All of it. It was a symptom of a man committed to spending time with the Lord, of a man committed to hearing the voice of the Lord, obeying the Lord, and praying to the Lord, amen? So these people, they went to the king, and they made him sign a decree, King Darius, that anyone who prays to anyone other than the king himself must be thrown into the lion's den, and they set Daniel up. I don't know why the king agreed. Maybe it was a moment of pride where he's like, that makes sense. People should pray to me. You know, I don't know why, but he went with it. So now Daniel finds himself in a place where he either stops praying and loses all the blessing, victory, and position in his life, knowing that all of that comes as a symptom of his commitment to prayer. Or he keeps praying and gets thrown into a den full of lions. Talk about stuck between a rock and a hard place, yeah? Have you ever been there, stuck between a rock and a hard place, where you feel like I got to choose between a negative and a negative? I got to choose between, you know, maybe doing the wrong thing that has a bad result or doing the right thing that has a worse result? Ever felt like you've got to choose between those two things? I want to tell you, losing your position is worse than dying, but he chose the right thing that says he would die. If you're there now, listen up. You need to stay the course. Stay the course. Stay true to the word of God, and you'll stay blessed. And you'll stay in victory, and you'll win the battle, even when it looks like it's a choice between a wrong and a wrong, a negative and a negative. God will supply all of your needs. Do the right thing, and God will supply all of your needs. Amen. So Daniel stays the course. And then the rulers catch him, and they take him before the king, who has no choice but to honor the law. And Daniel, he's thrown into the lion's den. But I love what the king says. In fact, when I read it, it actually sounds like the king is praying. I love what the king says or prays. May God, whom you serve continually, that word continually, don't you just love that word continually? In face of a lion's den, may God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And then the next day again, the king says, Daniel, has your God, whom you serve continually, rescued you from the lion's mouth? See, Daniel's defiant decision to always fight back and pray was a witness to the king. It was a witness to the king. Imagine if Daniel had just bailed on prayer. He would have lost his position, lost the king's respect, lost the blessing, lost the battle, lost all the victory in his life. But his defiant commitment to pray, it saved his life. It witnessed to the king. It destroyed his enemy. It blessed the whole nation. The king talking about our God sent out a royal decree. Talking about our God says he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That's the decree that the king has sent out because the man stayed commitment to prayer. Your prayer is a weapon. Prayer will bring a steadfast strength and blessing and victory and joy to your life. And it will overflow. It will overflow. It'll start to bless everyone around you. It blessed that whole nation. They all got to hear about the power of Daniel's God because of his commitment to prayer. You need to pray. Touch a neighbor. Say, you need to pray. Your prayer will bless your family. Your prayer will bless your city. Your prayer will bless our church. Your prayer will bless this state. Your prayers are powerful and effective, James 5. But listen up, prayer's not just words. It's not just words. 2 weeks ago, I preached about the written word of God, the Bible. I preached about the word of God. And I said that the Bible's not just, sorry, that the book is just ink on a paper, right? But as you read it, it comes alive. As you read it, it's washing over your soul, right? It's not just words written on there anymore. Now it's come alive as I read it. Prayer is not just words. They change the atmosphere and wash over your soul. They're powerful. It's not just words you say. Your prayer comes alive as you pray. As you speak out in faith, what you're asking God to do, it comes alive and it goes to battle in the supernatural on your behalf. Amen. Your prayers are changing the spiritual environment around you. The book of Daniel shows us that as we pray, we're fighting spiritual battles with angels by our side, fighting for us in the heavenlies. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and powers of darkness and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as we pray, we're sending our arrows into those forces, amen, into the supernatural. So fight back. You don't have to sit back and take it anymore. Fight back. Oh, I wish things were better in my life. Do you pray? Do you pray? Fight back. God's given you a weapon, a powerful weapon. Fight back. I want to give you some symptoms that the devil's coming after you, some signs that you need to pray more. Would that be all right? Awesome. All right? Symptoms that the devil's coming at you, some signs that you need to pray more. Number one, loss of spiritual passion. You need to pray. Loss of spiritual passion. If you find yourself less excited about the things of God, less excited about people being saved, you don't get pumped about the Word of God anymore, you find yourself looking at the Bible like it's nothing, you find yourself sitting in church, you don't care what the sermon is, you find yourself sitting in church hearing the Word of God but not really hearing it, not really receiving it, come on. If you're more excited about your team making it to the playoffs than you are about a soul making it to heaven, you might be losing your spiritual passion. Come on, you might be losing your spiritual passion. It's time to fight back. That's a symptom that something's going on in your life that you need to pay attention to. That's a symptom that your soul is separating itself from God. You need to fight back and pray, amen? You need to pray against that and say, devil, get out in Jesus' name. Come on. This is good. Another one, physical fatigue and sickness. Is the devil coming at you? Then pray more. Come on, pray about it. If you're finding yourself always tired or constantly sick, you can fight back. Jesus said, come to me all who are weary, carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. He's talking spiritually and physically. Scripture says that by his stripes, we are healed. It's a spiritual thing and it's a physical thing, amen? He wants to give you life spiritually and healing physically, amen? So don't sit back and let the devil tire you out when you have a weapon in your hand. Don't sit back and let him constantly make you sick when you can fight back. Come on, touch your neighbor, say fight back. You need to pray and confess the word of God defiantly. I will be healed in Jesus' name. I will be strong in Jesus' name. I will be whole in Jesus' name. In fact, I am healed in Jesus' name. I am strong in Jesus' name. I am whole in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. And I believe somebody in this place just got excited. Somebody's going to get a healing today. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. MS has no hold on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Another one. Another sign that you should pray more. Is this all right? Good. This isn't one to make you feel bad for not praying. Oh, man. Oh, man. He smashed me for not. No. Come on. This is a, if this is happening, I can help you right now. All right. If this is happening in your life, we can help. We can help you fight back. Amen. When everything seems to go wrong all at the same time, that's a sign that you're under attack. That's a sign that the devil's trying to take you out, amen? See, when we are spiritually healthy, we are supposed to see things line up with the Word of God. So when everything's going wrong, I'm not saying that you're not healthy. I'm saying when everything's going wrong all at the same time, it's a sign that we're being attacked and we need to stand up and fight back. Come on, you need to stand up and fight back. Hallelujah. See, God said, I'm the head, not the tail. God said, I am blessed, I am not cursed. God said, I am loved and highly favored. Hallelujah. So when everything keeps breaking, when everything keeps going wrong, you need to fight back and you need to pray harder. You need to send out those arrows into the heavenlies. Amen. Fight back. Pray more. Declare everything in my life is going to line up with the Word of God in my heart and in my life. Lauren and I had a whole bunch of stuff break at our house over just a couple of months, and I was getting ticked. I was mad. I'm like, one thing, I get that. Stuff gets old. But it doesn't all die on the same month. Come on. Right? Completely depleted our emergency fund. We're those people. We got to keep some funds there in case things go bad. Well, they went bad. And the money went away. Right? We got real low on funds. And it seemed like everything in our house that could break, did break. Washing machine, dead. Dryer, dead. Dishwasher, dead. And I ain't doing dishes. That thing matters. I'll wash the freaking clothes in the sink, but I ain't doing dishes. Come on. Water softener, dead. Water pressure, dead. Everything! And I realized the devil wants to hurt me. This whole thing was spiritual. There was a lot of other great things going on in my life and in our church and in our relationships. He wanted to distract me, take me out. Listen up, when your vacuum cleaner breaks, don't blame the devil. Listen up, not everything's the devil. Your shoe's got a hole in it, that wasn't the devil. You wore them out, all right? Your dishwasher broke, it probably wasn't the devil. Got old and you didn't service it. But when everything that can go wrong does go wrong at the same time, you need to pay attention and realize that maybe there's more going on in this situation than meets the eye. And you need to fight back. Scripture says that the devil is roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he shall devour. And you need to stand up and say, it ain't gonna be me. Come on, someone say, it ain't gonna be me. Fight back. Fight back. Fight back. So I started fighting back harder and specifically covering my house, now home, now family, in prayer. I started fighting back. So when our basement flooded just a few weeks later, I knew that this time, this thing's gonna bless me. Because I've been praying about this. I've been praying and protecting our house. So I'm like, this is gonna bless us. And then the insurance company paid out. And we got a whole basement full of new carpet. And I don't have to pay a cent. That's called all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Amen. Come on, I didn't have to pay a cent. Someone say, fight back. Another sign that you need to pray more is you're feeling hopeless. If you feel like there's no hope, if you feel like there's nothing left that you can do in the situation, well, maybe you're right. Maybe there is nothing else that you can do physically to fix this problem. Maybe it's spiritual. See, God says that He has given you a future full of hope. So what seems hopeless in the natural is actually already taken care of in the supernatural. Because God said that you will always have hope. So when you find yourself with no hope, feeling hopeless, it's time you fight back and pray, amen. It's time you reach up into the supernatural and snatch down into the natural the promise that God made into your life, amen. See, we talked about Joshua last week, right? God says to Joshua, hey, bro, look up. Check out that city over there. I have given it to you. Not I'm gonna give it to you. I have given it to you. Done, right? But when you look up, there's guards, there's weapons, there's a locked up, shut up, sealed up wall. Nobody coming in. Nobody going out is what it says. It was not given to him. But God's talking about spiritually. See, God says, I have given it to you. So Joshua had to reach out into the supernatural and bring down. He had to partner with God to bring true in the natural what God had said has happened in the supernatural. Amen. So if you feel hopeless, God says you have hope. If you feel joyless, God says you have everlasting joy. So fight back, reach up, and bring out of the supernatural what God has promised is true in your life. Amen. Someone praise God in here. Man, that's good. Hallelujah. Bring that promise down. Bring that promise down. What's God promised you that you don't see happening? It's time to pray. It's time to partner with God and bring that thing down in Jesus' name. Amen. I got two more in 2 minutes. Another sign that you need to fight back is when old habits are making a comeback in your life. If there's old habits making a comeback in your life, that's a sign that the devil's trying to take you out. You need to fight back. Come on. You need to fight back. You are a new creation. You are not what you used to be. Don't leave a void in your soul for old habits to claw their way back into. Amen. After being set free and after being made new, the things of your past, they want to come back. The things you used to do, they want to come back. The things you used to hang out with, they want to hang out with you again. Old habits, old mistakes, they want to come back. Because the devil wants to keep you stuck in what he says you are. He wants to keep you stuck in his plan for your life. So you need to pray and you need to fight, amen. You need to fill the void of old habits with the presence and the power of God. You need to replace the relationship you had with your bad habits and your addictions. You need to replace that relationship with a vibrant relationship with your Savior. I don't want to get set free from one thing, replace it with nothing, only to have the devil fill the hole with 10 other things. No, you need to fight back. You need to replace that relationship with a relationship with the Savior. Amen. And lastly, listen up to this. If you find yourself pulling away from godly relationships, you need to fight back. God put godly men and godly women in your life. And if you find yourself distancing from those relationships, distancing from those people, that's a sign that the devil wants to isolate you. He wants to take you out. Come on, he wants to separate you from the flock, separate you from the pack, and isolate you. You find yourself separating from godly people and godly friendships, and godly mentors, you need to fight back. Don't let the devil use a trivial argument or a trivial disagreement to pull you away from a godly relationship, a godly mentorship, a godly friendship. Scripture says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you find yourself feeling like relationships are being destroyed, you need to fight back. You need to go to war for your friendships, not just so that you can benefit, but you're a benefit to the people that you're in relationship with. They may be the godly man or the godly woman that God put in your life, but you may be the godly man or the godly woman that God put in their life. It's for them too. So fight back. You are too valuable and too wonderful and too important to let the devil take you away from the relationships that God himself blessed you with. You think God blessed you with relationships with perfect people? They ain't Jesus. Come on. You can have a friendship with Jesus, but that's not the person sitting next to you. The person next to you, they're going to hurt you one day. I'm sorry. They're going to say something one day that you disagree with. Come on. They ain't Jesus. Stop separating yourself from people just because they ain't Jesus. Right? Come on. God blessed you with that friendship, not just to bless you, but to bless them. If you find yourself isolating yourself from godly relationships, fight back. Come on, everyone, stand up in this place. Someone say, fight back. Come on, fight back. Come on. We're going to fight back. We're going to become men and women of prayer, amen? If we are men and women of prayer, we're going to grow stronger in prayer, amen? Now, we've created a website, by the way, because as we're going through this Soul Oxygen sermon series about finding good habits and things that will bring health to your soul, we're realizing that we can inspire you on a Sunday, but we want to provide you with resources for your Monday to Friday. And so what we want to do is, so this myeternity.com/SO2, Soul Oxygen, go to that website this week. So far, we've just got a book up there with a link to Amazon that help you buy a book about the Holy Spirit for the sermon from a couple of weeks ago. We're going to load it up with some more for this week and just some more books that I've read. And I'm just one of them I just want to read again before I put it back up there for you, okay? And but there's going to be a lot of resources on that link, myeternity.com/SO2, that are going to help you. Not just the why you should pray, but the how to pray, right? Right, I'm telling you, you need to pray. I want you to go read the book now and learn how to pray, okay? Come on, come on. Now, they're not books written by me or even friends of mine. It's just good resources for your soul. Amen. Now, there are people in this room who don't have a friendship with Jesus. And I want to tell you the first thing you can do to fight back in your life is to pray and invite Jesus Christ into your life. That's the first step for fighting back. And that's going to knock him for a six for a little while. That's a cricket saying, and you don't have a clue what I meant. That's going to knock him to the outfield for a while or something. Does that make sense? Yeah, good. Words and things and stuff. Cool. You need to fight back. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Man, God loves you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. And he had a plan for your life, a plan to bless your life, a plan to prosper your life, a plan to fill your life and your future with hope. And the devil has tried to line your life up with his plan. He's tried to ruin your life. He's tried to hurt you and your relationships. He's used your mistakes to bring shame into your life. He's used other people's mistakes and the things that other people have done to you or around you to bring shame into your life. And today I'm telling you, you need to fight back. You need to pray this prayer with me and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and to kick the devil out. Amen. So I'm going to pray a prayer and I want you to pray it with me one line at a time, okay? I'm going to pray it one line at a time. Everyone in this building prays this prayer every single week. And we're just inviting you to pray that with us today. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. That's it. I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to straighten up the things of your life. I'm just trying to introduce you to Jesus. And if there's anything in your life that's hurting you, that's hurting others or offending God, when your soul, when your heart is ready, God will speak to you and give you the strength and the power to win that battle. That's between you and him. All I want to do is introduce you to your Savior. Amen. So everyone in the room, pray after me, and especially those who have walked away from God or those who have never known him, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all, and I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Would you help me to live it the way you designed it? Special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell me that you prayed that prayer. When I count to three, I want you to lift up your hand. So every single eye closed in this whole place, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come down there. I'm going to stay where I am, and I'm going to pray for you. So on the count of three, lift up your hand if that was you. One, come on, lift up your hand if that was you. Two, come on, lift it up on the count of three. Three, lift up that hands all over this place. Lift up your hands. God bless you. Put it back up so it's just to make sure I saw it. That hand, and that hand. Anyone else? That hand as well. That's four hands. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. You can put your hands down. Come on, everyone. Let's reach out our hands now in faith to pray for those four people. Heavenly Father, thank you that this is a house of grace, a house of mercy. God, thank you that this is a house where souls are saved every week. God, I pray for every single person across all of our campuses that lifted up their hands. God, bless them right now where they stand in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would take away the shame and the pain of their past mistakes. That God, you would bless them right now with a heart full of hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.